that bill sticky bar during pandemic. I think I was in about 19 newspapers from Russia to America.
That's so cool. I love that. Welcome back to the Craft Brewers Creative Podcast, where every week we talk about everything creative and visual, but not necessarily drinkable in the craft beer industry. So if you're new here, I am your host, Jenna Steele, and every week I'm right here. We're talking about everything I love in the craft beer industry, and you know what? That just isn't necessarily the beer. I mean, I do love it, but we're talking about everything from can art and learning how we got these cans to, you know, talking about the marketing and how the world of craft beer is changing. And so today we actually have a really interesting interview that I'm so excited about. So it's actually the 10th episode, and I feel like, I don't know, seems like a nice number. So anyways, for the 10th episode, we have Tommy Sherritt, and he is the dad who built a tiki bar with reused materials and his bare hands in his backyard during the pandemic, and literally got the attention of like 20 countries around the world, and it's like written up about it everywhere because it just, he has such a cool story. But so this is kind of tangentially, oh gosh, is that a word? Tangentially? Anyways, kind of craft beer industry. So the way we got connected was on Instagram, because he's kind of lives in the, I guess the tiki bar world is kind of, I don't know if it's small. I mean, I think it's pretty small, but he, you know, lives in the, you know, I guess the tiki Instagram world, but also part of that is, I guess, he also kind of lives in the craft beer Instagram community. And so that's kind of how we connected. And we've been talking for a while now, a couple months. I think he's actually one of the first people I started talking to. And I saw him, I watched him build this tiki bar, and it's just so cool. And so, and he does serve beer, I believe. I mean, yes, he does. But anyways, so this conversation was a little bit more focused on, you know, less about individual can art, but, you know, overall the aesthetic of a drink and of, I guess in this scenario, it's a cocktail thing, but in a tap room or in a bar, or just the impact of the extra special something or giving it extra attention. We also just talked about a lot of different things because we had a good conversation. So we may have rambled on a little bit, but I can't wait for you guys to hear this one, because I had a lot of fun talking to Tommy. And so let's get into it. And before we do that, quick reminder that this podcast is a beer can lover production. And this week, once again, we are sponsored by Yard Game Worlds. And yardgamesworld.com, you can check it out. They are super cool. They kind of just like eat, breathe, live everything that is backyard games and yard games. There's more than just cornhole, apparently, and there's like so many different games, and you can learn all about them and learn how to play them. And so they also recently came out with their first book. So it is called The World's Greatest Backyard Games. And it says that the world's best backyard games is the definitive book on the top yard games from the 6 of the world's 7 continents. The book is a must-have for backyard warriors, lawn enthusiasts, and anyone interested in a little inspo for a summer of competitive fun amongst friends. And I love this, and I got one because I feel like, what else are you doing if you're drinking beer in the summer? Like, you're probably outside. You probably maybe want to play a game. Or, I mean, cornhole, I feel like there are so many breweries around here that I can think of around me in Atlanta right now that I know have some yard games. And I feel like this is so cool because it talks about like Spain's caliche and different versions of, and like different things like Ethiopia's corbo, and like all these different cool backyard games and like yard games that I think we should be incorporating into our breweries and our beer drinking and our backyards. And so I don't know, I just think it's fun. And I hope that you think so too. And I want you to send me pictures of you playing backyard games because I want to see it. I want to see if you're doing something like more normal or if you're mixing it up and you read the book and you're playing some of these weird games I have never heard of because apparently there are a lot of them. And yeah, so all right, without any further ado, let's get into it. Let's get back to today's episode and let's talk to Tommy. Here we go. Okay, wait, so Tommy, how are you? I'm so excited to finally talk to you.
I'm very well. Ball's been great, as you can see.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to talk about it. So first off, let's back up a little bit. So wait, where do you live? What do you do full time?
I live in England, a little place called Stoke-on-Trent in Staffordshire. It's pretty much in the sticks a little bit. There's not much around here. And I am a electrical mechanical engineer.
Gotcha. So then when did you get into beer for the first time?
Craft beer?
Yeah.
This year.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Wait. So do you remember, I ask everyone, always curious, first off, what was the first beer you ever drank?
Yes, it was Jungle Trip by London Beer Factory.
Is that part of your craft beer or is that something?
It's craft. It's just like, it's a well-known brand. You just go to the supermarket here. It's nothing like a special, like a unique craft, like a local brewery or anything. It was just one you can buy from the supermarket. And that's my very first one ever. That's the very first one I ever had.
And then
this year as well.
Oh my gosh. No way. So then how do you go within 1 year from your first experience to starting the Tiki Jungle Bar?
Well, first I started the Tiki Jungle Bar and then started craft beer after.
Oh, fascinating.
It was actually people on here on Instagram. Sorry, that got me trying them, saying, "Look, try these craft ales. What do you think about them? Would you recommend?" I was like, "I don't really drink them, to be honest with you. I have cocktails. I drank lager. I drank most spirits. And other beers. I mean, I have tried craft before, but it's never really took me taste as such.
Yeah,
to the point where I could say, yeah, I'll just go out and start buying pints of this. To which point." I actually got on to Sycamore Arms, Sean, and he actually said, "Let's try some of these. What do you think about these?" So I went out. I spent about £200 on on these crafts, and then literally since then I've not looked back. I just keep buying more and more.
Oh my gosh! Okay, wait. So the bar. Okay, wait. So when did
There's
you?
Kenny, yeah.
How do you explain it? When did you start it? How do you describe it? Like, what even, how big is it? It looks amazing from everything I always see, but
we've got some spare land in the back of the garden. We didn't know what to do with it. I said to my wife, "What shall we do with this land?" And she was like, "I don't know. It's a big piece of land. What do we do with it? We've got stuff for the kids and stuff. We've got enough room for the dogs around still. We've got quite a big plot of land." And I said, "I really feel like doing a bar." And then I looked online. I was Googling from probably September onwards, what bars do we want to do? And by this point, I said, "I won't do nothing until next year, but we'll have a look." Anyway, I saw a few things on Tiki and Polynesian and I always like going to the Caribbean. I mean, it's not Caribbean, but it's similar.
Yeah.
And I said to my missus, "I'm going to do a tiki bar." Next minute, I'm not even exaggerating. Within 6 weeks, the whole thing was pretty much up.
Oh my
gosh. Within
gosh.
8 weeks, it was complete. Everything from start to finish done.
Wow. And so when did you start?
I started in, it was mid-November, and I finished probably the very beginning of February.
Wow. So how many seats does it have? Do you have a lot of people?
Right, so there's 20 seats in total. The biggest we've had so far is 26 people for the football, the soccer, as you know it. Yeah, and it can set. It's got a log burner. It's got projector with screen. It's got TV.
That's so awesome.
So, I mean, even if we don't feel like, I mean, we haven't quite done it yet, but we will do it in the next few weeks when it starts getting a bit dark earlier. We can basically pull the projector down, get it on, and just do movie nights with all the neighbours. So just sit here. The fire can be on, so it's nice and warm. Everyone sits around.
Oh, that's perfect.
Film nights. Bar on. Just help yourself to the beers.
That sounds so nice.
I've had all them work. I've only got two on the minute because it's a waste otherwise. And also I've got my massive fridge down there that's full. Just full of craft and, yeah.
So how do you... Okay, so you're new... Like, so someone new to the craft beer world, so then how has that changed what you serve, what you drink? How do you decide what to have at the bar?
I still keep the options open for lagers because a lot of my friends don't drink craft. And I'd say quite a lot of people that come around here don't really drink craft. There's only a minority of us. But if I could, I knew there's enough people coming that drunk craft, I would put a tap on for them. But I'd have to make sure there's enough people. I mean, the stuff I'd buy is probably 9% on tap. So bear in mind, you're probably not going to drink more than 5 or 6 pints of that before you start getting jelly legs. But if I knew everyone was drinking it, then yeah, I'd definitely buy more. But it's probably easier and cheaper to buy cans. Or bottles from here.
Yeah.
We got quite a few bottles.
So,
Okay,
so my angle with everything is that the reason I love the industry and the reason I kind of got into it is because I love just, like, cool can art and, like, that side of everything. So, before you started drinking it, did you ever see the cans? Did you ever think about it? And then now have you noticed how your, like, decisions to drink or buy, have those been affected by, like, how much do you think you notice the physical cans and, like, the artwork and everything? And do you think that plays an impact on how you drink?
Yeah, I think the appearance for a can, if you see a nice can, you'll buy the can.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's for every craft lover, for definite. But the problem is with the can art in this country isn't there yet. I mean, I've seen some of the American ones, and they are...
I feel like some of the stuff in the UK is better.
Do you?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. See, I see some of the can art over there. There's a few over here. There is some, but not where I go. I mean, there is a few craft shops as well, which, to be fair, I have been to craft places, and I'll be going next weekend. I'm going to a craft shop in Trenton, which is about a 10-minute, 15-minute drive from here. And they do, like, for smaller breweries around the country. And some of them have got really nice can art. But, like, your brew dogs, your basics, they're nothing. There's nothing special. There's a couple of small ones. No Frills is pretty cool. I'll show you one of his. He's actually on Instagram as well, No Frills is. And he's got his thing on, so...
Oh, fun. Oh, that's really fun. I like that. I'd say there's some Frills. That's fun cool, yeah. How that he's cut in half like that.
I mean, there's a few out there. I'm going to think get a collection going of all nice art. On one of the walls, I'm going to actually make a wall out of all the different cans.
I love that.
So when you walk in, it'll just be like all different cans all stacked up. So obviously...
Will they be full or empty?
No, they'll be empty.
Yeah, I tried... I was trying to save some cans, and I guess I just never washed things out well enough, and I was getting, like, fruit flies, and I was like, it's not worth the cans. But but sometimes a lot of, like, breweries will do the stickers from the labels and stuff. But I love the way it looks when it's a full can. I know one artist I interviewed, he had in his apartment a wall of cans that he had designed, and that was fun.
Yeah.
Wait, so, sorry, am I on your phone right now? Can you turn me around? I just want to see where you are.
Oh yeah, I'm in the bar.
Yeah, I want to. Sorry.
And another.
I want to do that. I feel like. Oh whoa. That's so awesome. It looks so good. I really wish. Is that a real fire? Yeah, you said right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I wish. So was it difficult to get like a liquor license or the license to serve?
No.
No.
I'm going.
Oh. Okay, then.
So basically, as long as I'm not taking money for the alcohol, I don't need a liquor license, as you call it.
Oh, fascinating. Okay.
So as long as people give a donation towards the Tiki Jungle Bar charity when they come.
Got it.
They can drink what they want.
Interesting. I love that. It's...
No, to be honest
nice.
With you.
I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know. It's so hard, depending on where you are. I was like, how did you just like go do it that quickly? And that's awesome. I love that. And it's perfect for what you're doing, at least at this point.
Yeah. We could, don't wrong, we could apply to the council and they'd probably accept us if we wanted to sell it. I don't think it's worth it because then I'd start thinking about, I'd have to get back receipts, I'd have to start declaring certain taxes and it's not worth it.
It's so
I just said,
yeah.
I just say to everyone that come, I mean, I think so far we've had about 120 people in here. That's it.
Mainly because
of the pandemic.
I think you need to like have some sort of like master class on how to build a tiki bar because it's too amazing. And I feel like people want to build this.
Yeah. A lot of people have emailed me saying, how did it cost you that much for what you've got? And I said, just look around.
What did it cost you to build it?
So it cost me, the original cost fee was £802.
And you did most of it yourself, right? Like you built it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. So everything. that's materials and not like labor and stuff.
Yeah, no labor cost in that, no. It's just everything material-wise.
So, wait, sorry, what did you say? How much?
£802. So I'm probably going to get
£802?
Yeah.
That's
English
not,
sterling.
For under $1,000. I mean, yeah, you built it. It took you a couple of months, like 6 weeks-ish.
Yeah, from start to finish. And I'm still working. I'm doing overtime. I'm doing a few of the bits. I just finished work. I mean, winter as well, so it's freezing. It was just finished work. I was up here for an hour or two.
You have the best wife. She's so cool. If my future husband, who is nameless, was like, I'm going to spend the next couple months in the backyard building something, I'd be like, no.
Yeah, but pros and cons. So it's winter anyway.
But I would want, I would want him to build that. So I don't. I guess maybe I shouldn't be so strict with nameless person.
Said to you,
but
I want to build a tiki bar. You'd let him.
Yeah, I guess I would. Yeah, that's so funny. Oh my gosh. So then wait. So how far from your house is that?
It is probably about 120 feet.
Thank you for saying feet.
Yeah. I was thinking in meters, but I'll say feet.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I swear I don't know what a meter is. It's like 3 feet.
Yeah, about 3 feet. Yeah.
I swear it. America is the problem, by the way. Like, I fully understand that we're the problem and everyone
Imperial
else is
metric.
And everyone else is consistent. But
you're very old fashioned.
Why do they do that to us? It's like, come on.
Because that's what your industry is built on. I was changed.
Being inefficient for the rest of the world, we're not that old. It's not that hard to conform to what everyone else does.
Everyone else knows translation, it's all right.
What'd you say?
I think you said that earlier about the size of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably, I'm probably going to say about 30 by about 28 feet.
That's a good size. That's so cool. I'm just like in such awe that you were able to.
Yeah.
That you did that. And it's like, does it, it doesn't leak when it rains and.
Nope. Fully waterproof. And all the roof was, was reclaimed. I've done a few repairs there, yeah, because there was a few minor drips originally.
I could assume. Wait, so have you always been handy? Have you always built things? Like, how did this, was it quarantine project? You're just like, time to DIY?
No, it was virtually boredom. Because you've been locked down from, I'm probably going to say March. It went from a point where I hadn't been in the pub with my friends. I haven't seen any friends. I'd literally been working. And because of the industry I work in, supplies a lot of food out. We basically just been doing, I think last year I did about 400 or 500 hours overtime.
Wow.
Yeah, on top of me shifts. So it was a lot of overtime, and it was a lot of time because people were throwing us sick.
Is overtime the same rule in the UK? It's like time and a half or whatever?
We get standard rate and an allowance as well. So not time and a half, no. You just get standard rate.
I just had a salary for 40 hours a week and then worked 100. So I'll never forget the moment my boss said to me, I could never afford you by the hour. And I was like, what am I doing here? What am I doing? This is awful.
Yeah, thanks for that. Any job's good anyway.
I was like, thanks, Brian. Great. So, sorry, you said that you had or hadn't you like built things like that before? Like, because I know at least around here, it's like in the middle of, if you start going out into the country, everyone has like wood shop equipment and stuff. Is it like, yeah. Did you already have some stuff, or was this like truly like, or was this like a first?
I've built a few things in the garden before, built ponds, but I've pretty much done all the garden myself. So whatever tools I had then is what I used for this. Basics like a drill, a saw. I borrowed my father-in-law's proper wood saw, like a big one, that come down. Apart from that, that's all I used.
Yeah.
Everything that come, I basically made it to fit. So like, the wood that is round the outside as a cladding was an old bandstand. So basically, I built the size of the tiki bar off a bandstand.
What's a bandstand?
So like a big stand where bands play under.
Like a stage?
Like a stage. Like an outdoor stage. Like a pergola. That's cladded. No? This is translation out. Right. Central Park.
Yeah.
You get a band playing in the middle of the park and they go under like a shelter.
Yeah, like a little, like a hut.
Yeah, like a hut, yeah. And basically that's where I'd say 60% of this wood's all come from a hut.
Interesting. Sorry, I don't know what it's at. There's a better word, and maybe you said it, and I didn't.
A bandstand, that's what it's called.
What did you say the other day? And I was like, what are you saying right now? The amount of... I swear... The UK, the amount of, like, vernacular, what's it called? Like, just words? Like,
slang.
Yeah. That, I swear, there's so much news stuff all the time, and it takes, like, 5 years for the reality TV here to catch up. okay, that's a word you're using for the...
It depends what part of the UK, well, say UK, England you're from. If you go down south, they've got loads of rhyme and slang. If you come to the Midlands, where we are right in the middle, that is the same. We've got our own slangs in different areas. And then if you go more north and towards Scotland, they've got their own slang and, yeah, their own accents. I mean, for you lot, I've got your own accents depending on where you go further south.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we've got accents within a 300-mile radius.
Yeah. So, wait, I have a question. Do you think I have... a normal American accent?
Yes.
Me too. Okay.
Yeah. You don't sound like from Nevada.
People from Nevada sound like.
You definitely sound like from Georgia or Oklahoma or from Texas.
Well, yeah, so I'm from New Jersey and people often People often think there's a New Jersey accent, which I guess
there is. I've seen New Jersey Housewives.
I've actually never seen it. I need to see that.
Don't bother.
Because I just...
It's terrible.
I'm sure. But I'm like, I just feel like I sound normal, but sometimes people will be like, oh, some things, like, they'll say, like, you have a New Jersey accent. I'm like, what accent? But I don't know.
And when you're getting mad at them, and you just start, the New Jersey kicks in on you.
I don't know what that would even mean. I don't want to know. but I'm sorry. So you were saying that, you were working overtime. You were working a ton.
Yeah.
And this is pre-pandemic or, oh, and they had a lot of food. Wait, sorry. We got distracted.
Right. So where are we? We supply one of the, I can't say what, but we supply one of the biggest food suppliers in the country. And basically because of lockdown, the volume was just through the roof because everyone was doing online deliveries and it was ridiculous. So it got to a point where I was probably doing 5-6 days a week out of 7. It was all work and no fun.
And this is all work. And this is work from home?
No. Working at work. It was working. I was there. I was traveling. I was doing 13-hour shifts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so long hours. And that was with overtime as well. So I do 13 hours anyway, but by the time I leave the house, it's probably 15 hours a day I'm gone. So when I finished work at 7 o'clock at night, I was coming out here till 9, going in for an hour, going to bed, waking up, going to work. So it was a lot to take in at the time, but it's worth it now, and it's definitely paid off.
And how did that change your decision to build this?
So when I started doing the roof, I said to my wife, I said, the tiki bar, it is going to be a tiki bar. Originally, I've been to Dominican Republic, and that was due to come like and say, I'll just do it like a tropical bar.
Yeah.
And that's why we called it the Tiki Jungle, because I was going to call it just the Jungle Bar. And then, so I did my research and saw a few tiki bars, and I thought, wow. And then I went to the research of what is tiki, because a lot of people don't actually know what tiki
what
is.
Yeah, what is it?
What? Tiki is anything from the Polynesian islands.
Polynesian islands. And that's like South Pacific? Where is that? What's
Polynesian? Your neck of the woods. Right by Maui, Fiji. It's like off the...
Okay.
Yeah.
Polynesian
islands. It's actually a set of islands.
Oh, it's its own thing.
Yeah, so if you've got like Maui's on there, you've got there's probably
my neck of the woods. This is in the middle of the ocean.
It's below you.
This is in the middle.
It's closer to you than me.
It's in the middle of the what is this? From the Pacific Ocean.
It's a lot closer than you than me.
I guess.
Ish.
If a 20-hour flight is that easy. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
What I know, my parents. What's the typical tropical vacation for the UK for people in the UK? Because I think my family, they love Jamaica, and so my parents often go there. And depending on the resort they go to, it's either like a big international. It's a lot of European. One of them's like a lot of people come from Spain. I think a lot, but.
Yeah.
Is the current, like, what's the typical tropical destination?
People get killed now. I'll probably say Benidorm in Spain. Because there's a lot of Brits over there.
That's not
to be honest with you.
I mean, it's not tropical,
Brits,
but.
We're everywhere. We are everywhere. Florida, I mean, Disneyland's a massive one if you've got the money.
Disneyland.
But the Caribbean and cruises. I mean, to be honest with you, because it's that. Little of us. I mean, there's only 66 million of us, which there's probably more in the state of California. Well, I think a lot more. There's I think 1.4 billion.
I was listening to something yesterday, and they were joking about a politics thing, and it was like the senator of California, and someone was joking to them. They were like, "Is it annoying when like Delaware, who has like, because California is massive? I mean,
yeah, it's huge.
I think it's the largest." Most populated state. And they said something like, is it annoying when like the senator of Delaware tries to do something because they have like four people? And he was like, yeah, but it's so funny how I just, how, yeah, that you, I don't know. I've never been to England. It's like, I've been to a lot of European countries. I've been to France, but it's, I can't comprehend that things, I'm bad at geography. I was in real estate, so that doesn't work well. And even now I'm in Georgia and I don't know where anything is. And so, and I didn't even realize like how west I was of the East Coast. Like I didn't even know really where I was. And so definitely when we start talking about the UK, I'm like, yeah, I got nothing over here. But
when you think of all the breweries we've got in such a small country,
I know, compared to what you've got
in such a massive country. Yeah,
I know.
I think they said there's 40 for every grid line you can see. So there must. I bet there's over 4,000 breweries in the UK alone.
That's crazy. So our craft beer scene over the past 20 years, but especially the past 10, has been really kicking off and expanding. How has it been over there?
It's the same. It's got better. And even now we've got microbreweries coming up left, right, and centre. I mean, like everywhere, and they're all producing better and better and better stuff.
It's crazy.
No matter which one you go, they're all outdoing each other. The first one's still good, but the next one's better. And they're just outdoing themselves. And if they aren't outdoing themselves, they're becoming stronger.
That's kind of how I feel. But then if I don't like something or if I don't think something's good, I also, though, feel like I probably don't know something. Or, like, I also feel like I'm not anyone to criticize in case...
Yeah, you're not a connoisseur.
Yeah, I'm like, I just... Yeah. It might be my taste. I don't know. Maybe not.
Look,
everyone's
taste is different.
Exactly. But even if I'm like, I like this style and I don't think this is good, I'm not... I just don't feel like I'm in a position to tell someone their beer isn't good or promote that thought. And so I won't say anything. I think he's in Scotland. Where is Scotland?
Scotland is north of me.
Is it far? That's like.
I can get to Scotland in about 4 hours.
Okay, gotcha. So what? It's Upfront Brewing.
Yeah, that's one that you went to. You did. Did you a live cast with him? You went live with him, didn't you?
No, I didn't. Want to do an interview where we were speaking because I think he had a bad experience doing that before. But we chatted, and I need to follow up and write something up because I want to share it. But I've just been so busy. But he had a super cool story. This brewer was. Jake is his name, was a neurosurgeon and won a home brewing contest and then started brewing, and it's all out of other people's breweries. He doesn't even have anything. It's just brewing other people's places, and he makes, everything was incredible. And I was nervous because it took like 2 weeks to get here. I'm like, oh, this is like boiling in the back of some plane somewhere. I don't know.
Yeast samples. Is that what they put in the post?
What?
Yeast samples. I've had some beer sent from America to me. There was only three cans, and they got took off. They got destroyed in customs because basically I'd have to pay a tax on them cans when they come in, basically like an import charge.
Yeah.
And they wanted, I think it was something like 84 pounds they wanted
in tax,
and the beers cost. I mean, I paid for the postage, and the lads from America sent them to me. I think they were nearly $6. $6 a can. And I said, "So on." So it's 18.
So where is this calculation?
Yeah, where's this tax? And they went on percentage where it's come from, and I was like, "No, I'm not paying that."
No.
And they actually emailed me to say your thing has been. Upholded by customs, Speaking to a few people that have done it before, if I'd have put on their yeast samples, they couldn't have ticked off me. So
interesting.
If you do send anything, yeah, make sure you put yeast.
I don't know what...
It's ridiculous. Oh,
I know. Within the U.S., the advice I've been given is USPS, which is like our internal postal. They go like flat rate, whatever box. And because, but I don't know why they say to do that. But from what I've heard, it's like also like the quicker the shipping you do, the least amount of time they have kind of to figure it out. But I'm wondering, it didn't say anything specific when he sent them to me. I wonder if it's different coming into the States rather than out.
It could do, yeah. Might be different with your customs.
It just surprises me when they catch you on things like that. I'm like, really? I didn't know someone was actually working on this.
Yeah, ridiculous. Someone's getting paid for taking my beers off me. I can understand if they sent me a pallet of vodka where I could tell them, for £1 million, and it's ridiculous.
You know what? Someone
they sent me
did
three
once.
Three beers.
Someone, my mom once sent me a bar of like special chocolate in the mail, and she just put in a regular envelope and put a bunch of stamps on it. And I also don't know how stamps work. How many? When? At what point do you put more on? How am I supposed to know? Anyways, the couple funniest things to come out of 2020 were like. I remember like in the first 6 months of 2020, we're like, never thought we'd be arguing over science and the mail. Cause did you guys hear about all like the mail problems we had?
Yeah. People weren't getting postage delivered. And then people getting it like 3 weeks later.
Oh, it was taking a while, but it was because with COVID and everything, they're like, Trump was trying to like shut down the post office. Shut down the mail so that no one could vote and stuff. And I'm just like,
yeah,
the mail? We're debating the mailman. This is like, you know, what we learn about when we're 10 years old. Like, I thought there were just some things we could just understand. Like, the mail. The mailman brings the mail. That's how he does it. But,
we went for a stage here and even we got slowed down because I think they had like
people were buying so much online too.
Yeah, well, this reason why like when I went now we were shipping that much food out, we were struggling to keep up. This why we just the overtime was there and there, and we just couldn't keep up with the amount of pure volume that they were requesting, and it was ridiculous.
At the restaurants or the places that
sell out, yeah,
that use your shop, whatever. Got it.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
I mean, I'm glad they had too much demand rather than none, at least.
Yeah, keeps them busy, keeps them in the job.
Yeah. This woman, I don't know why I'm assuming that. So my mom sent me a chocolate bar in the mail, and someone took it out, and to pay me back, kind of, the mail, like someone sorting the mail, stole the chocolate. And to, like, pay me back, put, like, 10 stamps on the envelope so I could, like, reuse them. And I was like...
Just chocolate on.
I've never been so confused. I called my mom and I was like, hey, like, I got an empty envelope with, like, 20 stamps on it. Did you send this to me? Like, it was from her, you know. And she was like, yeah, I sent you chocolate. Someone must have stolen it and, like... So I'm picturing someone like late at night sorting mail, got hungry. It was like, this feels like chocolate.
I mean, the dedication there just to send you a chocolate bar is amazing.
That's a great mom. I was like,
not even
is someone looking through and taking your beer, but someone's out here doing their job. Someone's out here taking your food and not even paying and not part of their job. They just wanted it. So I'm like, what if the dude just wanted your beer?
Could have done. Mask done. They did send me a proper HMRC letter through as well. It was annoying. It was really annoying because these beers were stuff from California.
Where was it coming from?
California.
Do you know from where?
No, I don't know off the top of my head now.
Yeah.
I can find what brewery it was. Mm-hmm. I think it was a local brewery to them, or say local-ish. But yeah, I was more looking forward to having them, to be honest with you. I wanted to try some of their stuff. And it sounded amazing then when it happened. I threw in the bark and just said, yeah, I'm not doing that again.
It's not worth it, yeah.
No.
So I have a question, and this might sound really stupid.
Yeah.
So craft beer and just brewing beer goes back, I mean, to like the Egyptians, you know, they've done it forever. Yeah. And I mean, and it, you know, beer used to be, I mean, you know, everyone drank it, just not for the beer. It was safer than water, and just every town had a brewery, and
yeah,
kind of just how history was, or that whatever. And the U.S. obviously is a much newer country, and so all those things are either from like, you know, 300 years back, but not really further.
Yeah, it's like Henry VIII.
So
Henry VIII with a big beer, with a big stein.
I don't know who that
is. Even the Vikings have beer.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, and I know, and craft beer is more of a new thing, the way that we kind of talk about it. But are there more established or like older or more historical like craft breweries? And I'm throwing up air quotes on this because I don't know what I'm really even trying to ask. Like,
yeah. So there is the new craft stuff,
because theoretically it could be, you know, 1,000 years old.
Yeah, there's none that old here. There is some. I mean, Titanic Brewery, which is down the road, they've been going since 1987, I believe. They've been going from, and then there is some older ones than that, which were like your pedigree, like. You're talking like these are from like the 40s and 50s, like during the war, these breweries have been going from.
Yeah.
Guinness as well, that's been going for probably over 100 years, I reckon.
Yeah.
I'd have to Google that though to make sure with Guinness. But yeah, well, they aren't. They're more stout, aren't they, I suppose? But yeah, there is a couple traditional beers, but the craft world is very new. I'd say only probably the last 5 years, craft breweries have been coming on the scene.
Yeah.
Only because traditional beer, yeah, there's hundreds of them. And traditional beer is now a thing of the past, I think. I think craft beers, the newer flavors, like what me and you have with newer hops and stuff and different flavors, will definitely overtake. And I also think that companies, lager companies, traditional beers, I think all that is a time in the past. I think our generation is going to basically turn that around, where your traditional beers are a thing of the past, and I think more pubs will start serving more craft ale as we get older.
Yeah.
But for the like, I mean, if I go to a traditional English pub, which you've probably seen videos and films, and in like a really old worldly pub, and you know, real old seats and wooden stools and old vases and figurines everywhere.
Yeah.
If I want them and say, I'll have one of them traditionals now, they'll pour it and there'll still be bits in it. Real traditional old beer.
Okay, so who's making that? Is that like a small batch thing, or is that, though, a larger production?
It depends on what pub you go over here. Because some pubs are run by breweries, and some pubs are self, I suppose,
they make it themselves?
No, not make it themselves. They do buy it from suppliers, but they aren't like breweries, so they can buy what they want in and sell it. So it could be from a local microbrewery. It could be from a big brewery that they're just batching off and just selling off. It's a bit of a mess here. But the problem with England at the moment is a lot of them pubs now are all going. It's a shame because they're lovely to go into. But yeah, especially since the pandemic. And a lot of them pubs as well now are well in the sticks. So even for me to go some of them pubs now, you're talking over an hour's drive or half an hour drive, which if you're having a couple of drinks over here, you can only have one drink and that's your limit.
How far
is
it typical? Like, how long would you drive in typically, like, outside of London before you're, like, in the middle of nowhere?
London, play off. Well, London to me is a 4-hour drive.
Okay.
And I'm the sticks. So I'm probably going to guess you can go towards Surrey. That's got some. You're probably looking about 2 hours.
Okay. I just never know because I grew up with... Hours. Okay. Yeah, I never... I'm so bad with geography and I never understand cities and where it is in relation to things because I grew up with New York City, you know, 10 miles from me, but, you know, it was an hour drive with traffic and, but then 10 miles in the other direction, I'm on a farm and I didn't know that New York City was like different than other cities. Like I'd never been to any other cities. I thought they were all like that. And I really want to go to England, but my parents say London is just like a British New York City. They're like, do you want to go to New York City?
Correct.
They're like, if you want, they're like, just go.
The thing to say about London is, think of New York, but then think of the buildings have never changed since before my history lessons have probably ever taught me. I mean, I'm talking since Henry VIII. The buildings are very much still the same. Apart from, you've got a few of the newer buildings, like new bank systems, and you've got a few of the new skyscrapers.
Yeah. It's funny. I either want a building to be... And in New York, it's pre-war, as in, I am assuming they mean World War II. When you're looking for an apartment, you go like, is it pre-war, post-war? It depends on a lot of things, but I either like really old or like brand new. I don't have any, I have no tolerance for something like built in the 80s. I'm like, what are you doing? You have no place here. We either want old or new. And I love, I just love, I was in like Greece and Croatia and places are just, the walled cities are just so incredible. And it's like, why did the indigenous people in America not build with stones? Because I would like to be able to see it. it's all covered.
So if you go to England and you go to London, there's hundreds of craft breweries around there. Hundreds. You'll be mesmerized by just how many tap rooms there is.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you come out to London, you'll get the train. I mean, you can be in where I live from London on the train within 45 minutes.
Seriously?
Yeah. So it's a direct train straight to Stoke and it's 45 minutes.
And it would be a 4-hour drive.
Yeah.
Without traffic, I live a 25-minute drive from New York City, my parents, and it is a 45-minute train ride. Public transportation. Jesus, why is it so bad? I mean, seriously. I've never been more angry than going to, in Amsterdam. And I was like, this public transportation is a miracle. And I would like to have that available to me.
Did you go on the tram?
The tram, amazing. I told you, I'm directionally challenged. I've never had such an easy time getting around than in Amsterdam. I was like, it's a grid. It's just curved. And I always knew where I was. The public transportation was so easy. I'm like, our public transportation is so bad. And in Atlanta, it goes like this.
There's one.
The whole city is
Amsterdam
this.
Amsterdam is just one loop. With the odd ones that might go the other way. But you know, if you're on one tram, you'll end up back to where you were.
Really?
If you're still on that tram, you'll just come back.
Oh, that's perfect.
The UK, we've got our train system is brilliant. It's efficient. It's not the best on the trains. It's quite becoming more advanced, I suppose. Now you can plug your phone in. They've got Wi-Fi in there and stuff. So it is all right. Like I said, a 4-hour car drive to London, which this is central London. So you could be talking 5 or 6 hours with traffic. But now because they put the charges and emissions charges going into London, you now have to pay I think it's nearly £4,000 a year just to take your car into London.
Wow. So, I've only even heard them mention that thing. It's a possibility in New York. And I think the immediate reaction was just outrage. Wow. So they're charging you, what is that? Goose Island. Nice. That sounds...
It's just a session IPA, 6.1%. So it's nothing special.
That sounds perfect. I could do that right now. It's 10 a.m. I could do it. something I heard someone talking about was that... Oh, it was interesting. It was this podcast, actually, and it was this woman talking about why she wasn't returning to work after the pandemic. And it was because her job beforehand, she was working at a tiki bar. And she said that a lot of things, but one of them was that tiki bar drinks are so complicated to make and that they have so many ingredients. And it's just like the when it comes to bartending, the hardest bartender to be, the hardest drinks to make are tiki drinks or like themed drinks. Is that true? What have you found? Like, is it, what is it? Like, what's there's, one? Like, what is a tiki bar typical drink or what's in it?
I don't know what drink you drink. But for instance, like, I'm probably going to guess you drink like a porn star martini, or you'll drink like a daiquiri, or you'll drink like a Long Island tea. Well, a tiki has got that many different add-ons within that drink. So like a Long Island tea, you wouldn't use like standard rum. You'd be using like a dark spice rum with a few of the bits, but it's the garnishes I find that are the hardest, and the syrups, which you wouldn't necessarily put in a normal cocktail bar, but they're the ones, and there's that, I've got a book somewhere. So that's like a normal classic one.
Yeah. Wait.
Just in case I forget, but I've actually got a tiki cocktail one. So if I went in that now, I'd probably need to get probably, I don't know, say 40 syrups, and then say just standard Bacardi, normal rums. If you go to tiki, you start talking, whereas a normal cocktail's probably got five things in, a tiki's got 8 things in, and then 3 little things that make it a tiki cocktail are hard to get.
Got it.
Or the things you and every cocktail is different. Everyone's got these add-ons within it. But the difference in taste is a lot better. So if you ever go to a tiki bar by you, make sure you try the Mai Tai, because you won't get a Mai Tai if you go to a standard cocktail bar.
Got it.
Unless they've got that stuff in.
Yeah.
There's just that many different nice drinks. Different cocktails, like if I was a cocktail bar now, I'll start naming some tiki cocktails, and they'll say, I've never heard that, mate, what's that? So I'll have to get my phone out and say, that's it. And he'll be like, I can't do that because you haven't got that, or we haven't got that. Yeah. And it's like, you're a cocktail bar.
Yeah.
And that's the, I don't know, it's, I suppose it's money as
the
well.
The only cocktail bar I've been to was, I just Googled it. I didn't know what it, called Otto's Shrunken Head in New York City is the only one I've ever been to. And the only thing that I remember being different about it was the decor and the drink and the, and I don't remember what I was drinking, but it was in the, you know, fun. It was, it looked fun, you know? But damn, I never really thought about all the different ingredients. So, oh my gosh, there's this like little hut ish on the beach in, oh gosh, it's Sydney's in the British Virgin Islands. I hope it's still there. And they have, it's this woman and she makes drinks and you just trust her and they're amazing. But I think one of the things she puts in them, and it's so good, and I haven't had this in 10 years, but she makes like, they're like daiquiri consistency, frozen drinks, but one of them has in it, I think it's tamarind syrup, maybe. Tamarind, and it's the best thing I've ever had in my life.
So is that
a flavor that you have?
Yes. Yeah, I've got it.
So what do you mean you have it? Do you have a syrup of it?
A syrup of it, yeah. And it comes in.
Where do you find that? Where does it come in? Where do you find that? Like, what even is it?
You can't get it on like Amazon. You have to go on like there's a site called Drink Stuff, which I use, which get all the syrups from. And they work out about 5-6 pound of syrup. So it's not bad, but I've got nearly 40 syrups there.
Wow.
The problem I've got is because every cocktail is different, you only use a small amount. So when you get halfway down the bottle, you've got to start looking at the dates. So on the bottom, I write when I opened it, I write the date and the time. Because sometimes then you'll start seeing it start solidify, start getting like clumpy.
Maybe I would even buy them and then could you like pour half of them into something to keep outside and then keep the rest in like a fridge or something? I don't know. I think it lasts longer. I don't know if that would work. And then do you have lychee? Is that a flavor that you have?
No, I haven't got lychee.
Lychee. I don't know if that's
I could see
ever involved.
Is that the right term?
I just love. If a restaurant has a lychee martini, I will go.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
That is it. I will go to the restaurant.
I'll like what it is because that might not be an ingredient. That might be just a name of a cocktail, but we might have another name over here.
No, lychee. It's the name of the fruit.
A lychee.
Yeah. It's. I wonder if it's lychee in tiki drink, tiki cocktail. Let's see. There is one of the things that comes up. Tiki Tango Hideaway Oasis in Atlanta. I need to go.
Yeah, good there. I guarantee you'll never go to another cocktail bar again. Because when you go there, they're that much stronger, but they're nicer. They're a lot more.
It would be so much fun. Like, and it's just more fun too. And I can't imagine it would be so much fun if like. You said, like, you'll never go to a regular cocktail bar again. I'm like, I can't imagine, like, asking someone on, like, a date, like, a first date or something, and be like, yeah, let's go here. And I feel like it'd be, like, a little weird. But I'm like, but if that becomes, like, my go-to, and I'm like, no, I'll only go to tiki bars. And then I'm always just, like, I'm just, like, the weird girl who just demands you bring me to a tiki bar. I can see that happening. No, that's so funny.
They're just so much nicer. Some tiki bars aren't the best. I'm not gonna lie. They call the tiki, but they only serve normal cocktails. We've got a tiki bar. Literally, I can drive there in 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
They serve no tiki drinks.
You should just sit there and like, whenever anyone gets angry that they can't get the drink they want, be like, "Psst, my place after this."
I don't need to. Last time I went there, I put my t-shirt on. My Tiki Jungle Bar t-shirt. So I went in there. I said, "All right, mate, I'm just going to have a look around." It was just like a normal bar. I said, what tiki drinks you got going on, mate?" He goes, "We're doing this." And I said, "Right, any tiki cocktails?" "Yeah, well, I said, that's not tiki, mate. What's tiki?" And I started getting that whole debate. That's not tiki. And they didn't even come in like a tiki mug. I said, "You're taking the biscuit." I said, "This isn't a tiki bar."
Then
this
what is just... tiki about it? Then what's Nothing. The point? It should be like. I feel like the only thing that's I feel like the only thing that's comparable is, you know how like extra virgin olive oil isn't necessarily like proper.
Yeah.
You know, but there's like a certification you can get to be like real. There should be an official tiki like. Yeah, this one's legit. So, like, this one qualifies, but, like...
Yeah, there should be reviews online where you can say, this is terrible. But you know what? We've got no tiki bars around here. So I feel like what he's done is that he actually opened that after I opened this.
Really?
Yeah, so I reckon what he's done is he's gone the bandwagon. He's probably seen that... you've probably seen some of the social media things I posted where... I mean, I've been, like, the Californian Times.
Really? I mean, it's... What's the Californian Times? Is that in California?
Yeah. Because Pa showed me the article of it, put me on there. And I'd be in the Metro, and the Metro is global. I think the Metro actually publishes in New York as well. There's loads. I think I was in about 19 newspapers from Russia to America.
That's crazy. Yeah. I love that. And it was, what was the headline? Like, man builds tiki bar in pandemic? Like,
yeah, dad builds tiki bar during pandemic.
I think I saw that you posted something about one of those or something that I had seen. But that's so cool. I love that.
My head was about this big. I literally couldn't
fit through the door. Should be. Wait, okay, so we need to work on your YouTube channel. I'm now involved in this.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to go up there. But,
I now feel like we have a mutual interest. I want you to do this. I want this to work.
The problem I've got with YouTube is I need to get videos. It's got to be. So I thought, right, we're doing this update this week. I'm doing this. And then I thought, right, when I replan the war, I thought, I'm going to do a few videos. I've not got enough content on videos.
Well, why don't you can well that, and but and what and the advice that pisses me off that I get all the time and that like I would say to you too is like start taking a video of setting up the YouTube channel or like setting up the setup in your tiki bar being like so I want to do this like where am I going to put the like you just start but it's like it's the advice I've been given for months that I won't take but.
It's a hard thing to do, and the problem I've got is,
You could just do recipes. You could just do how to make tiki recipes on.
Tiki cocktails.
That would be an easy way to start, at least, where it's like simple. Here's what it is. Here's what I'm doing. Simple. You know what the 5 minutes is going to be.
Yeah.
That could do really well.
Yeah, it lets you be 5 minutes. Just do a reel, me live making tiki cocktails. Starts off. The thing is, you need to look how many people are doing it because you need to bring yourself somewhere different then. So whereas if you've gone tiki cocktails, I bet there's over 1 million, but you need to make yourself something different on that YouTube channel and say, I'm making these cocktails, but I've got the bar. So I'm going to go all these places, the Tiki Jungle bar. I'm going to get some photos.
Yes.
I'm not going to name shame myself when I go in these places, but I'll say, I'm going to tell There is one that I really want to go because there's actually a tiki place in Liverpool, a tiki bar, and I really want to go there. And I want to tag myself in saying the Tiki Jungle Bar is here, and then I'm going to come on there live, and I'm going to see what they say because this is a massive bar in Liverpool, and it's always chocky.
That'd be so awesome.
But they don't. I follow them on Instagram, but they don't follow me. So I want to see if I get a follow after that.
Probably, yeah.
And Joe, first thing I'm going to say, Jenny, what cocktails have we got?
They're going to be like vodka soda.
Yeah. What's this?
Yeah. I love that.
No, we always have a discussion. And I've got a couple of friends from California as well. There's Mac and Jeff. So they were in that reel I did before when I did the Indiana Jones thing. I did a thing for Surfside Sips there. And we've always got a discussion. When I go there, I'm going to send them a video and say, is this tiki? And see what they say.
Oh
but
my God.
I'll do like a good 3 or 4 minute video and saying, what's all this here? Is this tiki? If you say no, I'm gone.
I love that.
Unfollowed.
Oh my gosh. I love that so much. That's so much fun. I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see that. That'll be so much fun. So anyways, all right. Well, all right, let's wrap up here. So, okay, is there anything, where can people find you and where are you on the internet and how can people find you, see you, see what,
I'm see on what we have going Facebook, on? The Tiki Jungle Bar. I think I've only got about 500 followers on there, but I find that harder than I do Instagram for some reason.
I don't even try to touch Facebook. I let Instagram auto-upload things. If I get a single like, I'm happy.
I've been on Instagram for a few years. I think nearly 2008. I think I joined Facebook. But the Tiki Jungle Bar has only been on there for, I think, two months.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, my friends come and they said, can we check into it? I said, I don't think so, mate. So they made like a page and then I said, all right, I'll carry on with it.
Yeah.
I rarely post on there. I should post more, really, but I rarely do.
I never do.
I'm on YouTube at the Tiki Jungle Bar. Again, that's new. It's because my Instagram is so well. When I look at these other social media, I always think to myself, Instagram went so easy. Yeah, I don't think these other ones are going to go that well. I mean, I think in about 4 weeks, 5 weeks, I've heard about 300 or 400 followers on Facebook. And I'm not a massive social media guy, so I haven't got those people on my social media anyway. So
yeah.
But again, if I went on on my Instagram. I could link to my bio. It's linked to Facebook, and I can do those sort of things like that.
So the main place is your Instagram, the_tiki_junglebar.
Yeah, if you're talking the Tiki Jungle Bar,
find Tommy. All right. Well, it was so good talking to you. I really appreciate it. We should do the live drink sometime. Okay, I had so much fun talking with him, and that was really honestly just kind of a fun conversation. I think we may have gotten a little sidetracked, but that was super fun, and I really want to go there, and now I want to go to Tiki Bar, and I really want to just go and get pretty drinks with like umbrellas in them, and I need that to happen immediately. You know what? Tommy, he should get the backyard games because he definitely has the backyard for it. I wonder if there's like special tiki games. I wonder what that would be. Anyways, well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. As a friendly reminder, I would love it if you could rate and review this podcast wherever you are listening to it. Make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button. If you want to turn on automatic downloads, that'd be cool too. And also, if you have any questions, you want to be featured on the show or something, I want to hear about it. So if you go to Beer Can Lover on Instagram and you go to the link in my bio, there's actually a link in there where you can send in your questions via like audio clip. And so I think you can like, I'm pretty sure it works is like, you can talk into it. You can, you know, send me your question. And then if I want to, I can, instead of like reading off your question, I can play the clip of you asking the question or making a comment or whatever. And I think that's really fun. Would love to have some other voices on here because I feel like, are you getting sick of my voice? Let me know. All right, well, thank you again. I hope to see you next week. Well, I will see you next week. I'll be here. I don't know where you'll be, but you better get your butt here. My butt will be here. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.